Pink Midnight.
Pink Midnight.
Pink Midnight.
Well, is somebody going to say something? Somebody here is a murderer.
It could have been an outsider.
You don't really believe that, do you?
I'd like to believe that it was not one of us.
Now, what makes you think one of us isn't capable of murder?
Yeah. It's interesting you should say that, since he was your friend. Wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Well, you don't seem to be too upset over your friend's death.
Now, you back off. I don't believe I have to show you how I feel.
Maybe you do.
Bob, that kind of talk isn't going to get us anywhere.
What do you two have to say? It's part of the tour?
No, it isn't. When we get downriver tomorrow, stop off at the park rangers and call the sheriff.
Terrific!
In the meantime, we got a psychopath running around loose.
A frame framed outside a frame. The photographer was absent. The cinematographer was on vacation. And the eyes of every actor just bounced off one day. And so parts of the film were left unrevealed. Not undeveloped per se, but unshot, unrecognized. Everyone was always standing where they weren't supposed to be standing. Every shot's composition became off kilter due to the influence of a nearby bog creature. Each person on the set tried to convince the director that there were problems, but yet he persisted to frame outside the frames, which were his originally devised frames. Thunderstorms are to horror films just as twilight hour is to wedding photos. It sets the perfect scene. It entrances the viewer. It leads you down a romantic yet dark and twisting hallway. This butcher knife will travel slow, and your flashlight will grow wings and fly far away. It was the objects themselves which were at fault. The meat cleavers, the spears, the flashlights, the shears. They got up in the middle of the night when no one was around. They wandered the halls. They found their victims. It had nothing to do with the blokes dressed as cowboys, just twiddling their thumbs, hoping maybe for a shabby tip. He who must be the guilty one emerges from the shadows, eating potato chips, while they swoop down from the hills, riding dirt bikes, lost as the saviors, the heroes who never were, the looping, mind-tricking, back-flipping ones, always ready to lead them beyond the pale. He doesn't even sit or stand. He eats like a magical baron. But it pains us to see his sad expression droop even further. He walks away from his plate, unfinished, and everyone suspects his mournful stride to point red and dripping, bullet-ridden arrows that he, the guilty one, cries in pride. Their victimhoods lack crescendos. They fall off screen, crash through walls, the sound mix destroyed. A lack of violence, yet a predilection to it, a magnetic pull toward violence, yet a ping-ponging effect, a disorienting spin. It's a prop, it's a ghost town, it's a saloon, it's staged. A stranger comes to town. He walks into a Western without being part of a Western film. He's been miscast. He carries a bloody knife, drinks Dr. Pepper, wears clothes like a canvas bag. Axes drift from the walls. We hang our heads, sleeping amidst the floor, wherever we happen to collapse. Tomorrow morning is drawing us onward, yet we rely on the negligence of the intruder to kick the cans and rattle us awake. What went on behind the scenes of this film? Was there a lot of drinking? Battles? Disagreements? Maybe even beatings? What exactly led a film to wind up in this sort of shape? Thank you for tuning in to Pink Midnight. We hope you have enjoyed your stay in this haunted hotel, in this abandoned palace, in this opulent field of nowhere grass.